Sunday the 19th of March, 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Purpose-Driven Life. Sermon title, Made to Serve God. Bible reading, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
Today's reading comes from Ephesians 2, reading from verse 1 to verse 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us all lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Purpose for today. We're in this book, Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and I was up in the office the other day, and they're being delivered. So you guys are obviously buying it, and it's inspiring you, which is really great. We'll see how we're going to get on today, because today the rubber is going to hit the road. Rick Warren opens this chapter with these words. You were put on the earth to make a contribution. He means a kingdom contribution, a heavenly contribution. You weren't created just to consume resources, to eat, breathe, and take up space. God designed you to make a difference with your life, to add to life, to give something back. Serve. Service. Manuel is you and I. And you weren't saved by service, says dear old Rick, because he loves a little play on words. You were saved for service. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. God has created us for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. But I think that we can suffer from a touch of the Josephs if we're not careful. Remember him, Joseph, and his technicolored dream coat? I close my eyes. I'm not going to sing it for you. Serving God, I think, sometimes can be really hard from where we're stood in life. Just think where Joseph was stood. He was stood in a pit in life. Remember, he's in this disused water system, and he's been put there by his brothers because he's dreamed about them and they've taken umbrage. They didn't like it. And so they put him in a pit, and there he is, probably thinking that he's going to die. Friends, I think life can be a little bit like that sometimes. Certainly our work can be. I was talking to a friend on Friday and he said, Martin, I'm just not enjoying my work at the moment. And it can get like that, can't it? Hemming us in. Sinking us into a pit. Rules to follow. Bosses to keep happy. Workloads that just keep coming. Overcoming us. How can we serve God in there, in that environment? And think of the brothers. Didn't Joseph tell them what God wanted him to tell them? Hadn't he done his kingdom thing? We can say the same. Martin, I've tried serving before, but it just doesn't work out well. No one listens to me. That's what Joseph was saying. No one listens to me. I've tried to offer my gifts here in this church to get on a rota for helping with coffee or get on the welcome team or do the intercessions. No one's listening to me. In the pit, you've got time to reflect. Joseph must have had lots of time to reflect. I wonder if he thought, you know, all this God stuff isn't working. Maybe I need to do something else. Or maybe you just feel detached from God. Joseph is far away from his father, out of sight, out of mind. We've spoken a lot about getting back into some intimacy with God recently. We heard about that on Tuesday night, Hugh at the Lent course, another really great evening, when he was saying to us, we've got to get intimate with God again, but it's really hard, isn't it? It's hard to do. Joseph's in the pit. No comforts, no nourishment, no voices. Of course, there are voices ringing in his ears, telling him how worthless he is, telling him that he has nothing to offer. I wonder how many here this morning hear those voices, the voices of the brothers, condemning, negativity. Maybe sometimes we'll think we'll just stay out of the way, we're better off out of it. I'm not fitting in, no one cares, no one sees, no one knows. Why go and do tea in the park with the rest of the church? Why take a run a stall at the jumble sale? No one will notice if I'm not there, but it's not true. People do notice. We're all part of Christ's body. Remember, Rick Warren said that was our second purpose in life, to be part of a church family. And if one part of the body falls, the whole body falls with it. If one part's missing, the rest just doesn't work quite so well, because we need everybody there. Even with Joseph, only one person noticed, but it was a really important person. It was God. His Heavenly Father who noticed he wasn't there. And I can't imagine circumstances worse than those that Joseph faced. He must have thought, that's it, my time's come. Chips are up. But to God it was a birthing channel. That pit. Place of new life. Uncomfortable, isolating maybe. I bet Joseph was weary. I bet he said, I can't be bothered to go to church today. All of this happening around me, it's all too much. But for God, it was the first step of service. And it was a step that was going to change an entire nation. It was going to nourish an entire nation. It was going to feed the people who had put him in the pit in the first place. How miraculous is that? God is seeking to feed the people who put us into the pit. It's like the old joke. I want to get to so-and-so. Well, if you want to get to so-and-so, sir, you don't want to start from here. Here very rarely looks a good place to you and me. But to God it's the very place that he wants us to start. Where you are right now is a place from which he wants to call you. Whatever that pit is to you. It's the very place where God begins his good works. And Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, when God starts a good work, he's going to complete a good work. Why do you think you're in the family that you're in? Why do you think you're in the workplace that you're in? Why do you think you're in the social circles, the sports club, the whatever it is, mums and tots? Why do you think you're there? You're there because God wants you to bring the light of Jesus Christ into that very place. Bring kingdom values to a fallen world. And of course, the devil thought that he had outwitted God again because he's put Joseph in the pit. Romans 8:28, God can bring good out of all things. And actually, it was the best thing he could have done because it was the highway to the king of Egypt, you remember. And if you don't think that's how it feels for you right now, that God is winning and the devil is losing, just have a reread of that story of Joseph. It's a wonderful story. In your quiet time, just go through it. Fantastic story. Three things that Rick Warren says about our service. And the first one is this, simply that we are saved to serve. Saved to serve. What were the options for Joseph? Let's kill him, said the brothers. He's destined to die. Destined to die. Let's kill him, said the brothers. No, wait, says Reuben. Let's not kill him. Let's put him in a pit and let's sell him, make some money out of him. We're told at the end of the story that Joseph goes and hugs his younger brother Benjamin. I bet upon bets he goes up to Reuben and gives him a big kiss. Miraculous sparing of life, don't you think? Miraculous. Destined to die. Joseph was destined to die because they didn't like the truth. You and I are destined to die not because we don't like the truth, but because we're born into a fallen world. What is it that Paul says? The wages of sin is death. Who here this morning is pure, undefiled? None of us. None of us. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and so all of us are destined to die. We're talking about our soul now, dying, not making it into eternity. But what is that Bible verse that is itching to come forth from Scripture? God so loved the world, so loved you, that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ. A ransom for all the sins of the world, done, dusted, paid for, so that whosoever believeth in him shall inherit eternal life, shall avoid death, shall be set free. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? Friends, we're set free from the pit. The life condemned is now the life released. And another has stood in our place on the gallows of God's justice. I'm forgiven because you are forsaken. I'm exalted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me. Because you died and rose again. Rick Warren says this: we don't serve God out of guilt or fear or a sense of duty. We serve God out of a joy and out of a deep gratitude for what he's done for us on the cross of Jesus Christ, his Son. And he asks the question, if we're not serving, have we really fully understood the work of the cross? Paul, towards the end of what many call his greatest work, the letter to the Romans, in which he sets before us the fallen state of the world and God's loving mercy that comes and rescues us, towards the end of that, in chapter 12, he says this: therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. In view of God's mercy. That's why we turn up at tea in the park. That's why we help out on the welcome team or whatever. Not because it fits with our diary. Not because we think, can we be bothered today? But because Jesus Christ died for us. We're redeemed from the pit. We want to give something back. Saved in order that we can serve. Number two, we're called to serve. We're called to it. Go and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything that I have commanded you. That's a call. God is saying to you and to me, go. Here's another one. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Miraculous as it is, God calls you and me to join him in the salvation of this world. Rick Warren says that over in China, when someone gets baptized in a church family, they say this: Jesus now has a new pair of eyes to see with, a new pair of ears to hear with, a new pair of hands to help with, and a new heart to love with. And we're not meant to do that alone, in isolation. We're meant to do it together. One day, this is a very old joke, but I love it. One day in the South Pacific, Navy ship espied some smoke coming out of one of three huts on a previously uncharted island. And they go over to the island. And sure enough, there's this guy who's been shipwrecked there for years. And he comes out. And the captain kind of walks towards him and he goes and flings his arm. By goodness, he said, I'm so pleased to see you. I've been shipwrecked on this island all alone, all alone. The captain said, you're all alone. He said, why are there three huts? He said, well, the first one, he said, that's where I live. And the second one is my church. And the captain says, well, okay, I get that. What's the third one? He said, oh, that's the church I used to go to. So often we can think the church is there to suit us, can't we? We decide whether we want to go along to it or not. That's not the case at all. God calls you to a church to be participating in the church. And church is there for a wonderful reason, and that reason is synergy, one of my favourite words. synergy, the combined total effect that is greater than the sum of the individual parts. Put simply, we can do so much more when every one of us plays a part in our church. We had a baptism last week. Huge affair. 14 people baptised over in the hall. 11 of them churchgoers, regular members of our congregations here in St. Chad's. It was a fantastic time. Hopefully a video will come up on the website soon. But think of the skills that we needed to make that happen. Evangelists and teachers, of course, to get the candidates to the point where they want to give their lives and be baptised. But on the day, we had people hosting, we had people setting out the chairs, we had people filling the pool with water and heating the pool. We had musicians, we had computer experts who streamed the whole thing live up on the wall. Fantastic. So that everybody, even at the back, could see exactly what was happening in the pool. We had people that were cooked, but we're talking about cake sales and whatever. We had people baking and cake, making cakes and sandwiches and all sorts of things. People doing refreshments, setting down team, admin skills. Goodness me. All sorts of people contributing in all sorts of ways to bring the light of Christ. Because I tell you that there were people there that day who don't normally step their foot inside a church. And each and every... The person who made the sandwiches is the same as the person who gets up and preaches the word of God. We're all in it together to show them something about the light of Christ. This week we interviewed four ladies for an admin assistant post. What do we need for that? We need HR skills, management skills, interview skills, computer skills, social skills, discernment, hospitality. On and on it goes. Guys, we need you. Every one of you. We need you to turn up to things like tea in the park and we've got a walk of witness coming out. You know, the people around the streets here need to know that Jesus Christ is alive and well in this place. And we'll be going out on Good Friday again on a walk of witness. But there's so much other things that we need in behind the scenes as well. And all of them go towards enabling this church to shine the light of Christ out across Chadwell Heath and beyond. And I mean you, I don't mean your husband or your wife or the person sat in front of you or behind you or on the pew next to you. I mean you, every one of us. All of you together are Christ's body and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Called to serve, saved to serve, and then lastly this, we are commanded to serve. Whoever wants to be a leader amongst you must be a servant. That's not a question. Must. That's must. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life a ransom. To give his life for the kingdom of God. Warren says, for Christians, service is not optional, something to be tacked on into our diaries if there's time. It should be the very heart of a Christian life. Jesus came to serve and to give, and those two words, he said, should define our living, the way we live our lives. He says, too, that many of us sit in churches and we listen and we learn and we may even do Bible studies. But rarely do we put any of that into effect. He draws a parallel between Lake Galilee and the Dead Sea. Lake Galilee, he says, is teeming with life. Why is it teeming with life? Because water comes in one end and goes out the other. And then he says, why is the Dead Sea dead? Because water comes in, but there's no outworking. He says this, the last thing that many believers need is another Bible study. He said they already know far more than they're putting into practice. What they really need is serving opportunities where they can exercise their spiritual muscles. Mark 8:35, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. What Jesus means there is whoever wants to put their own diary first, their own time first, their own wants and what first, those are the people that are going to lose their life. But whoever loses their life for me, for the kingdom of God, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, whoever loses their life for me will gain it. And you may think that you're not the biggest or the cleverest in this church, but let me tell you that each and every one of us here this morning has a role to play in this church. Monday to Sunday, Monday to Sunday. small or large, up front, behind the scenes, whatever it is. I'll finish with this. This is one of my favorite parables. So the question is, what's the most important light in your house? And you may think it's the porch light or the lounge light or whatever, but I'll tell you this, it's the bathroom light. It's the bathroom light, because at 2 o'clock in the morning, when you need to go to the loo, it's the bathroom light that's going to save you from stubbing your toe. Now, here's the question. What happens when you go into the bathroom and you pull the cord or you flick the switch and the light doesn't come on? What do you blame? I tell you this, you don't blame the darkness for being dark. You blame the light for not working. Friends, we are saved to serve, called by God to join him in bringing salvation to this planet, commanded by Jesus Christ to get up and carry our cross in St. Chad's Church and to the people out there for his glory and for their salvation. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, as we work our way through this book, it's just reminding us, and we all know these things, but Lord, it's so easy to find ourselves in a pit. It's so easy to find ourselves enclosed by life. Trouble in the home, trouble with a family, illness, trouble at work, whatever it is, pressure from the world, that we can get so that we forget that we're supposed to be serving the kingdom of God first and foremost. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this gentle reminder today. We just thank you that you have provoked us again today by your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be found just working for ourselves, for our own interests, for our own financial whatever, but that we would be found working for your kingdom to bring salvation to others. Bless us in it, Lord. And if we're currently not doing anything in church, would you just put it on our heart where we might serve, where we might offer our gifts, our personality, the person that you've made us to be, because together we can make a difference. Bless us in it, Lord, we pray. Amen.